This is James Dillon with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We're also simulcasting on East Eddy Stargate. So there you can actually interact with the guests and myself and others. So it's a good place to interact with people in the chat, ask questions. We just have a good time there. It's like one big happy family. There's so much going on. I want to cover a few things going on.
We've got John Pavanka with Remote Viewing, and he's going to be on September 13th through the 15th. And those are amazing workshops. I've done that myself, and it's a mind blower how accurate most people were here, just being in the energies here. We also have the ambassador training, September 27th through the 29th, and we're going to go from the top to the bottom, and people are going to be able to meet the higher dimensional beings and learn how to clear the low dimensional beings and maintain your self-authority and keep your energies clear. So it's an amazing workshop, and by the end of the workshop, people are just flying high. It's a great one to attend. You know, we have a saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent, and we need to respect that, because there's a lot of people out there saying open wide and let anything come into your body, which is very, very irresponsible. So anyway, that's coming up. We've got the UFO cruise on the 6th, looks like through the 18th, if I can read my writing. And we've got, that's all on the website. And we've got the Disclosure Down Under, which is going to be in January. And that's in Melbourne and in Sydney both. So looks like I'll be down under in January. So looking forward to meeting a lot of our listeners down under.
There's so much going on. I want to cover a few things going on. The Schumann resonance is just off the scale, and we're getting hit with one major solar flare after another. So the solar storms are a little crazy. So whenever this happens, you're going to have pretty crazy weather. You're going to have a lot of increases in earthquake and volcanic activity, but it also brings people's issues up. So it affects the bioelectric fields around the body, and it brings up, you know, a lot of issues. So you'll have a lot of emotional outbursts, and some people will just be lethargic and things like that. So it's you know, we have a choice. And at Stanford, they took monkeys and they, you know, hit them with magnetic field fluctuations and things like that. And they exhibited behavior, everything from suicidal to self-mutilation to comatose activity. So, you know, we have a choice with these shifts and these energies coming in. We don't have to behave like monkeys. We can override them. And we do that by being aware of these energies. And sometimes it's good just to chill out a little bit, take a nap, you know, get plenty of sleep, and drink a ton of water, and choose not to, you know, engage in all this energy. But it's good to know your surroundings, know what's going on. I just got back from the Dimensions of Disclosure. That was an amazing workshop, conference, basically, and did a panel there. It's a great panel. And we also did a lecture there. I got about two-thirds through my lecture, but the whole lecture is here at the ranch. So if you want to get the DVD on that, you can see the rest of it. I didn't get to all the UFO footage. It was more about consciousness and energy. But that's coming up. We'll have copies of that soon. There's a lot of other things going on. But, you know, I wanted to talk about these energies, how they affect people, how issues are coming up. And we've got a great guest to talk about this. So we've got Natasha Hines, and she's a self-love specialist, a professional empathic intuitive, who's personally overcome debilitating self-hate, suicidal depression, addiction, body dysmorphia, bulimia, and toxic shame from narcissistic abuse. A lot of that going on out there right now. She focuses on helping sensitive and empathic people redefine how they see themselves and heal their core issues, such as trauma, shame, guilt, self-hate, insecurities, negative beliefs, and more. Her mission is to remind you of who you truly are, a divine being, inherently worthy of love and respect from yourself and others. You're here to be a light in the dark world and help us ascend into a brighter future. You can find her on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Her website, natashahines.com. You can also find her podcast, Self-Love and Spiritual Growth, on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. So without any further ado, I'm going to bring Natasha on. Are you with us, Natasha?
I am. How are you?
Good. Having a little technical difficulty, but I just fixed it. But But anyway, yeah, welcome to the show. I was thinking there's so many different ways we can go about this. And I've had that in my own life recently where, you know, it was in a relationship. And sometimes, you know, they become so toxic, you know, self-love demands you just kind of create some space between you and others. But I'd love to get your take on what's going on and with these new shifts of energy. And I'm sure in your work, you're probably seeing a lot of it.
I'm actually, it makes total sense to me when you said that the Schumann resonance is off the scale right now. I actually noticed, I think it was in July when everything was crazy, that there seems to be a direct correlation with days that there are spikes in the resonance and people acting crazy. Like every day that there was a spike in the resonance, I'd get like some sort of a death threat. It was like ridiculous. So, yeah, that makes total sense to me.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one getting those threats. But, yeah, it's pretty crazy out there. I know what I've seen is the one thing lacking in all of this, it seems to be, is personal responsibility. You know, people going to project and blame and all this other stuff, not realizing that they're kind of creating that reality or drawing people and events to them around their own traumas and wounds and that they haven't healed. I'd love to hear your take on that.
Totally. I totally agree with you, but at the same time, I feel for them as well. Like when people attack me, on one hand, I'm experiencing it as someone being attacked, but also I've been that person. I've been that angry person that has no idea where to direct my anger. So I empathize with them as well. And when we're experiencing these things that are triggering us, like so many people nowadays, like on the internet in general, people troll, people criticize, people get into arguments. But recently with the shifts, I feel like it's less about people arguing about being right and more people being very emotional and feeling very emotionally triggered. They're very hurt. They take everything personally. Everything's very offensive to them, but they're seeing a projection of their own insecurities. So everyone is our mirror. So we're not seeing what that person is doing or saying. We're seeing what we're interpreting that person is doing or saying, which is a direct reflection of how we feel about ourselves. So absolutely, this is like a perfect opportunity for us to grow massively, because every time you're triggered is the perfect opportunity to ask yourself why. Why am I angry at this person? Why am I hurt by what they're doing? Why do I feel so uncomfortable right now? And then asking those questions about why and getting to the bottom of those feelings, that mm-hmm. shows you the things within you that you need to heal that you might not have been looking at this whole time.
You know, I'm gonna go into kind of a touchy subject here, but I know
I love touchy subjects.
throughout history, I mean, there's been so much abuse with women. I mean, they used to raid, you know, a village, and you would grab the women and the gold, and then you'd keep them for a while or sell them off as cattle. And the satraps of old used to grab, you know, a woman and be with her for a while, and then they'd throw her out in the street for another woman. And, you know, there's such a long history of that. It seems like there's like a built-in kind of insecurity that's cellular memory. It's you know, and a lot of women are recognizing that now and overcoming that and healing it. And then a lot of people are actually acting that out.
So are you like relating this to specific experiences that you had recently?
No, just over. I've been doing counseling for quite a few years, and I've been watching how a lot of these traumas come from childhood trauma. They come from past life trauma. And, you know, they've been burned as witches in the past and, you know, things like that. Just a lot of the trauma. I know it's on men's side too, as well, but, you know, they have their issues where they've always had to, you know, go out and provide and do all the other stuff and couldn't stay home or hang out. And there, you know, there's all kinds of things going on. So, so basically there's so much processing going on. It's coming, there there's so many levels of it, deep levels. And you know, I've just seen that, you know, basically women have had a real bad rap over here for the years. And but at one time, you know, there was a feminine god on the planet in ancient times. And, you know, it was the birther of all people, all life, all everything came from the one mama or whatever you want to call it. So I don't know. It's just interesting watching these things surface and come up.
Yep. I don't, I'm like, well, it is a touchy subject and I'm scared to touch it. I don't want to, yes, women have had a lot of violence towards them, over the past, however many hundreds of years or whatever, but, men, I don't want to neglect men because they're raised to believe that they can't express their own divine femininity. So I wouldn't even necessarily, you know, that I'm going to get in trouble no matter what I say. No matter what I say, it's going to be. But yeah, like I think maybe it's the divine femininity or the femininity in people, whether they be men or women or whatever, that has been suppressed because that energy, never mind how we define it in society, like there's so many definitions about what masculinity is and what femininity is that aren't divine. They are not the divine definition. Like when people say, well, the divine feminine is supposed to be submissive. I hate it when they say that. I do not like that word for either for either side. But it's the femininity, divine femininity within any being that has a certain approach to things, you know, with being the nurturer, the more compassionate, the mothering type, the one who wants to make sure that everyone is nurtured, because then you can also go and say, well, men too, they like to protect and all that. So you know, like, what are you doing, James? Why are we talking about this?
Yeah. Well, it's just interesting because I know men could not be emotional. You know, they couldn't be sensitive and things like that, or you get beat up or killed in the old days, you know, so that it's on both sides. I mean, there's toxic, you know, masculinity and there's toxic femininity and there's, you know, it's happening on both sides. Balance, you know, balancing out the masculine and feminine within ourselves.
Yeah, it comes down to the fact that whether you're a woman or a man, that we live in a society that for a very long time has told us that we're not allowed to express our authenticity. You know, we're not allowed to be who we really are. We have to conform ourselves to be as society expects us to be so that we can fit in. Because if we don't fit in, we could die, basically. Connection is extremely important to people, not just emotionally and psychologically, but physically. So there's a real fear about not being able to fit in. And that's why it's such a struggle to try to heal that.
Yeah, the herd consciousness. You separate yourself from the herd and you get taken out. And people depend on the herd, you know, for protection, food, and everything else, money, and whatever else you want to talk about. But it is definitely, you know, definitely happening. It's really interesting just watching this process. I've seen here, like, doing some of the self-mastery classes that, you know, women will bring their husbands. And they're just sitting there with their arms crossed. They're not sensitive at all. They're just very objective. You know, they don't have a balance between the objective-subjective balance. And a lot of them are bringing their husbands here and saying, you know, this is your last shot. You know, sure. Yeah, if you don't open up now, you know, I'm out of here. And you know, that puts a pretty heavy weight on me, too, you know. But they do. They end up blowing, through, you know, through the weekend, which is great. You know, they have amazing experiences. But at the same time, it's just like I'm seeing now that a lot of women are demanding that their husband, you know, get back into the heart, or their mates or whatever, you know, drop into the heart, get back into the heart and you know, trying to find more balance.
I mean, there's probably just off my personal assumption, with absolutely no evidence of this, but I would assume that a lot of these women also have their own heart blocks that they're not necessarily acknowledging. Meaning, when you're trying to make someone else conform, I understand that it's a little complicated because if they're in a relationship like a marriage where or they have kids together where it's kind of like, well, let's give it our best go because I can't really walk away from you right now. But yeah. When you're trying to force someone to be something that they are not, or control them, or make them conform to the way that you want them to be, you're not really loving them. You're not being loving to them by trying to make them be something else.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
No, yeah, definitely. I can see, usually by loving somebody how they are, they'll start changing automatically. If you accept them, for who they are, and maybe suggest maybe a little better way of behaving, I don't know. But
yeah. Or also focusing on yourself and loving yourself and living by an example, and then allowing that person to come to you, without, I think it's maybe in conforming, I don't know which word to use here, but like when someone's not treating you how you deserve to be treated, when they're not respecting you or they're not loving you the way that you know that you are worthy of being loved, then, mm-hmm. but you do things, you get closer to them instead of standing in your space and letting them come to you. As soon as you lean forward, you lean in, you chase them, you move towards them, there's two dynamics of how we're trying to make that person become something that they're not. One is we're running towards them and chasing them and being with them and then getting upset that they're not being something that we want them to be. Or we try, actually it's the same thing, we're trying to control them in some way. But if we just stood in our space and love ourselves and respect ourselves, they will either change to meet us where we are, or they won't, and the relationship will have to dissolve. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I love that one saying. They said, the only reason anybody has any power over you is because you want something from them. And, you either want their love or their acceptance or their approval or something on that line.
Yeah.
And you're walking in your power when you find all those within.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And then I always wonder, too, are you enabling someone who is not walking in their power by supporting those insecurities? And it's kind of an interesting concept, you're not authentic yourself because, you're afraid of losing that person. That seems to happen quite a bit.
Absolutely. And even in that, I define love as wanting the best for that person. If you don't want the best for that person, then you probably don't really love them. This is my theory, my opinion. So if I love my mother, I want the best for her. If I love a baby, I want the best for it. If I love my cat, I want the best for it. So if I love someone in a romantic relationship, I should want the best for them. And the problem is how we're not always looking at what the best is for them. We create an illusion. We rationalize that the thing that we want is the best for them. But in reality, it's not the best for them. It's what we want, what makes us feel better. The validation, having them change, having them conform, having them show us love the way we want them to show us or whatnot. And I don't want to get into semantics, but it's a general statement.
Oh, no, I agree.
I'm going to lose so many people. What are you talking about?
I'm really bad about here. I'm very, I've had a couple near-death experiences, and I've connected with the source, and, that one's hard to top, and I'm really fulfilled on an inner level. And when I give people total freedom, they freak out, and they just go, what do you want to do? You're like, I'm already happy. So what do you want to do? What makes you happy? And it gets to be kind of crazy. And it's kind of interesting because I'm just, that's, you know, my nature is to be happy. It's everybody's true nature just to be happy. But it gets kind of interesting when you don't react to certain things, or you're just in that full support mode. You go, well, what do you need? What do you want? People start thinking you don't care about them because you freak out and you don't try to control them, or you don't try to own them, or whatever. And they start getting insecure, like, well, he doesn't really like me. You know, I don't know. It's crazy.
No, totally. And I've been on both sides of that. Mostly the insecure side, but something that I've overcome. But being in that mind state, I understand that thinking, and that thinking is either you're relating this experience to another experience you've had where somebody didn't really like you and didn't really want you around. So now you're like, oh, well, same situation. They're treating me like the other person did. So they must not want me around either. You know, there's that, or there's, they are missing something within themselves and they're constantly looking for validation from other people to remind them, yes, I do want you around. Yes, I do like you. You know, yes, I do care about you, but they need the reminder because they can't provide it for themselves. It always comes down to the same thing, your inner work.
So, Natasha, what advice would you give to empaths considering the higher consciousness and energy coming in, the vibrational lifting of humanity and the earth to get through these times in the days to come?
So this is in reference to what I teach in my course, Self-Love for Empaths, which is free on my website. But what the basis of what I would, like the basics that I would tell someone who is an empath or thinks that they might be an empath, if you're dealing with negativity or your own emotions and you're dealing with maybe outbursts or you're hurting or you feel overwhelmed, like a lot of us tend to self-isolate, there's a reason that you feel that way that might not be applicable to the average person. Empaths deal with specific problems that a non-empath won't deal with. So some of the things are being targeted by predators like narcissists and psychopaths. We are targeted by negative entities because they either want to feed off of us or they want to keep us down so that we can't raise other people's vibrations. And also because, and I'll come back to this, I think, if I remember, but empaths, we tend to associate empaths with only feeling, but in my experience, and you may agree or disagree, but empaths also we resonate energy as well that affects other people. So when we're in a really, really bad mood, that's going to affect someone near us probably more than a non-empath would affect them. So when negative entities tend to target us so that we have a negative effect on other people, not a positive one as well. So we are being attacked by predators, being attacked by negative entities. We're feeling our own pain from being attacked. We're feeling our own guilt from when we do something to someone, we can feel how that affected them. So if they're hurt, whether we intended to hurt them or not, but we feel that hurt and then we feel guilty, which is part of the reason we get trapped by narcissists, which I'll get into hopefully if I remember. But, okay, so targeted, feeling other people's feelings. We're feeling our feelings. Then we're feeling other people's feelings that are hurt by us. Then we're feeling the world's feelings. We're feeling the collective. We're feeling animals and plants and the environment. We're feeling all this stuff. And it's just one layer on top of the other, on top of the other. So how we tend to deal with it. So in the case of a narcissist, just so I don't forget, is that a narcissist will infringe upon our boundaries. They'll cross our boundaries. So if they ask you to do something that you don't want to do, for example, and you say, no, I don't want to do that. And you say it in a nice way and you say it because you authentically don't want to do it, but you didn't intend to hurt them. You're just like, I don't really want to do that. So no, in that moment, you're anchoring the no to a negative feeling because now they're upset. They feel bad because a normal person, let's say, might feel rejected by the no. And so you're feeling this pain from them, which makes you associate saying no with hurting people. So that's something that as an empath we need to work through. That's why so many of us are pushovers. Then in the case of a narcissist, they actually hurt because they can't control you. A lot of the time a narcissist's goal is just to hurt you and control you and get what they want from you. And when they can't violate you, they hurt. And then we feel the guilt that we feel guilt from the pain that we caused them, but the pain that they're feeling is because they can't hurt us. And that's why we get caught in this cycle where we allow ourselves to be hurt by them. So that's another thing that we have to work on. So what I would suggest as a start for people to do if they're an empath, a lot of us tend to self-isolate because we're trying to run from a problem. So we just try to get away from people because we do get some solace. We do feel a little bit better when we're not directly in the room with other people causing us that. Sorry. We do get some solace, or we do feel somewhat better when we're not in the room directly with that person who's causing us the pain. But everything exists at the same time at the same place in real reality. So no matter where you go, if someone wants to direct negative feelings towards you, they can do it no matter where you are and no matter where they are. So the most of the solace that we find we're feeling when we're not in the same room as someone is because they're not actually focused on us, out of sight, out of mind. But they can still, if there's a narcissist in your life and they live like miles away, but they're blaming you for all their problems, then you're going to feel that. And I've tried cutting cords in situations like that, and it doesn't work. Because it might feel better in the moment, but then as soon as they start directing more negative energy towards you, you're going to continue to feel it. So in a situation like that, it's important to understand how to transmute energy. Because the energy is coming at you. And the only thing that you can do is to transmute it. And so learning to transmute energy, it's very simple and it's very necessary. So once you start to learn how to do these things, so transmuting energy is a big one. The other thing is to find your baseline so that you're aware of what your feelings are and what other people's feelings are. So when you really start to work on yourself and understand what your baseline is, meaning that you're in a calm state of mind where both hemispheres of your brain are cohesively working with each other, and you're able to understand that in any given situation, what is affecting you and why, so that if you're feeling feelings that don't feel appropriate for the situation, then you'll know that they're most likely not yours. So that's a little bit of an art form, and those are the two biggest things that I would suggest that people work on. Finding your baseline so that you can understand which feelings are yours and which feelings are other people's, and learning to transmute energy. And then we can work past all these other things and we can stop self-isolating. Because part of the reason that we came here as empaths is to transmit the loving light energy to people. Dolores Cannon talks about this, about how there's a wave of volunteers that came here that were meant to walk among the people and exude a loving light energy and affect people. But we all hide. We all stay in our room because we don't want to deal with people. We can't deal with the negativity. So it's a good thing for us to do to get beyond that and then go out and be the light. It's like since, I want to say 2012, but probably before that, like 10 years ago when I woke up to the corruption part, the reptilian part and all that, and started going down that rabbit hole, I've felt like, hurry up, we need to do this fast, there's not enough time. That's how I felt, like hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. You came here for a reason, but there's not enough time and you haven't been doing it and we don't have any time, hurry up. And yet, throughout that process, like for the past 10 years, I've had to go through many experiences to get to the point where I am now, where I'm coming into who I really am and who I was meant to be when I came here, and teaching and really speaking my true lessons or whatever. But I had to learn the lessons first. And this entire past 10 years, I have still felt hurry up, hurry up, hurry up every step of the way. So even now, I'm still feeling hurry up, hurry up. You know, there's not enough time. But now we have this, all this stuff about the CME and the event and the timeline splits. And it's just a lot of pressure, you know. Like, is this stuff going to happen in the next 5 minutes? Or is it not? And it's going to take another 1,000 years for us to go through the ascension process. You know, what exactly is going to happen? How much time do we really have? Because there is a massive percentage of the population that is still quietly asleep. It's a big job. That's what I'm saying. It's a big job.
Yeah. When I went to the conference there, you know, I met some really cool people, but I noticed that the collective, especially down in LA in that area, when you sit and you're at the table there and everybody's talking and nobody's listening to each other, and they're all, one's talking about one thing and acting like they're answering the person's question, but it's a whole different thing, and they're going back and forth, and, you know, and they got beers flying and everything. And I don't drink, you know, and so when I'm sitting at the table with all these people and I'm just going, I didn't realize how much of an alien I was, you know. And I was looking back and forth, and I go, oh my God, I spent too much time up on the mountain here, you know, because I can't even have a conversation here. I was getting so the energy was, I was getting so confused, and I was trying to figure it out, and then finally I realized, you know, you can't figure out confusion. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, trying to make logical sense out of all this stuff going on. You're trying to feel what they're saying, and you're going, I can't, this doesn't work. You know, this doesn't work for me. And there's a couple times I just had to get up and leave, you know, and walk away. But I realized that I think that is what's missing in so many people's lives, is to stop the chatter, stop the mind, get out in nature, you know, get out of social consciousness, all the social programming, find some way, either through meditation, find a quiet place, find a place in nature, and just get out of that craziness.
Yeah. Oh, I feel you. I'm glad that you brought that feeling like an alien thing up, because it's really hard for a lot of us who are, you know, some people don't think that the starseed thing is a thing, or they think that, oh, everybody technically is a starseed, but there are some of us that are a lot weirder than other people. And, yeah. You know, when you're in a room full of, like, the normals, it's very, very evident about how it can be very difficult, and you feel very out of place and alone and misunderstood when you're out in the real world instead of with your people.
Yeah, it's interesting because I spend, you know, a lot of time up here, and we're always working. You know, it's a 70-acre ranch, and so we're either working in the gardens, we're taking down dead trees, getting ready for winter. There's always work here, you know, fixing fences. We've got livestock and just the landscaping alone and everything. So we're always busy. And it's kind of in nature, and it's a different world. It's a completely different world. And then when I come back down into the other world, all of a sudden I find out that there's all these things that I'm supposedly doing, and gossip and other things.
The rumors.
I didn't even know it was happening. I go, I did what? When did this happen? I go, I don't have time for that. You know, it's like, it's just unbelievable. Yeah. So
it really, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, yeah. I was just going to say that I've heard you talk about that before, and I'm like, it's sad, but so familiar at the same time. And I'm sure, it's funny, I was actually listening to this talk, I forget the guy's name, but it's on Corey's channel. And he was talking about the fourth and fifth dimensional negative oriented entities that come like screw with you or whatever. And I'm like, that totally makes sense. So they target people who came here to do good things and they kind of drag you down. And that's like, myself and probably a whole lot of other people, especially listening to the show, probably can relate to that, is that like my whole life, that's been my experience, how people have attacked me and made things up about me and blamed me for things and that I had nothing to do with and just the craziest, craziest things. And then it only just gets worse. It only just gets worse. But wait, it just gets worse. You know, as you start doing more like yourself, you know, and what happened to Corey and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, all these things that I was supposed to have done with these people, and all the people are good friends of mine. I go, hey, will you write a letter, you know, saying, you know, attesting to the fact that none of this happened. And they said, but it wouldn't matter. You know, I could get like five or six letters of the very people that they're naming. And what's funny is I told them about it, and they go, what? They go, what are you talking about? I say, exactly. I go, that's what I'm trying to figure out here. But I know that the land here has so much energy here that people come here. And we tell people in about 3 days, just be prepared because all your stuff's going to come up.
Yeah.
And I watch people. Yeah, they come on the land and all of a sudden they're just in process and they're blaming. And we tell people, look, we're here to help you heal this if you want to heal it. But you can't project and blame and make everybody else's life miserable. Right?
Yeah.
And it's sad that there are people here that we've had to let go for various reasons, you know, usually it involves, we have a no drug, no alcohol policy here. And usually it's the drugs and alcohol that open the door for those other entities to come
in.
And, yeah. And then it just becomes a big mess. And almost every case when we're having a problem with somebody, it's either drugs and alcohol or it's they allow these other entities to come in because they're very wounded or damaged. And they got in through flattery. You know, they told them that they were the chosen ones, you know. I mean, to the point where all of a sudden I'm being marginalized. I'm being taken off my own website, and then they've got front page, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're going, don't you see the error in this? You know, and they go, well, we're the real masters here and everything else. And I said, well, you know, you forgot one thing. You forgot whose name's on the deed, you know. And probably the reason why my name's on the deed. But it's kind of funny. But it's human nature. It never blows me away. Some things I just shake my head and I go, I can't even believe somebody would go there. But they have this extreme sense of entitlement. You know, it just goes into spiritual ego, and then it goes into narcissism, and then it takes the next level and to where you can't even have a conversation, you know?
Yeah. But they're also good lessons for us to get to a point where we don't react to these things.
You know?
We don't let them affect us anymore.
I'm
still in the process of learning.
To confront it early, you know, that's what one of my things is it's kind of like I'm on the cusp of a Cancer and a Leo. So the crab in me just steps aside and avoids everything, you know. It just goes side to side until it gets to a point and then the Leo comes out and deals with it. But I'm very avoiding, you know. I don't want confrontation. I don't like confrontation. And I try to communicate through humor and things like that and find ways of clearing the issue. But I've learned that I have to be a little more assertive. You know, something in my life, I need to be a little more assertive and put some firmer boundaries.
Well, I can help you with that.
Yeah, it's interesting because to me, I never wanted to hurt people. I don't like rocking. I always like, you know, that's kind of a Cancer thing. You want to keep the family together. You don't want to rock the boat, keep the peace, everything else. But sometimes I'm really, there's no way out. You know, you have to rock the boat. Sometimes you have to empty the boat.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you got to burn that boat.
Yeah. Yeah, set it adrift, send it down the road. a bit, have a little funeral, got a good Viking funeral.
Yeah.
But there's so much, I wanted to get more into this, but what I've seen in a lot of the counseling work, people don't realize. I mean, I have photographs of entities on top of people, right above them.
Whoa.
And I show people, look, you see this? All your thoughts and your emotions aren't yours. I said, if you don't keep your energies clear and keep your vibration up, you know, that these things, you know, find ways in. And either through over-subjectivity, drug or alcohol abuse, even if you get really sick, your fields get down and they can attach in.
Yeah. And it's or somebody triggers you.
What's that?
Or somebody triggers you. They trigger you and you don't catch yourself in time.
Yeah, you get into anger and all that stuff. Then they feed off that and they accelerate it or they amplify it. And they're just feeding off of that energy and they keep the division game going and the battle, the war going and everything else. And they seem to feed off that energy. And I tell people it's not, you know, we have a saying here, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. And just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. And we see people that will hook into these energies and work with them, and they get benefits, which is a whole other subject, you know, because they make deals and they get benefits. They get either notoriety or you know, fame or money or whatever, and they basically sell their souls, and at the end they find out, you know, those gifts came with consequence.
Oh, yeah. I just want to make a quick point in regards to that, actually, that when people say that you sold your soul or whatnot, or when you feel like you sold your soul, that is not permanent, and you can take your soul back.
Exactly. Yeah,
but
sometimes you lose the bennies, and they don't want to do that. A lot of times you lose some of the power or the abilities or the wealth or whatever. But
absolutely, you lose everything. You have to give everything up and start all over a lot of the time, but it's worth it. And there's a part of, like, I'm speaking from personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of you that knows that it's worth it. There's a part of you that knows that what you're being or what who you're acting like or what you're doing or what you're prioritizing that isn't satisfying you and it's an illusion. And that you there's a part of you that knows, the part of you that's connected. And that's the part that you have to listen to.
Yeah, I agree. There's, you know, a lot of times I'll really go within and sometimes I'll get a message. No, it's time, you know, this isn't working. It's toxic. They have to go. And that's the hardest part for me is saying, hey, this isn't really working. You know, it's not working for me. And I think you'd be happier somewhere else or whatever. And for some reason, that's a, you know, I always really push. You know, people tell me one of my problems is I give people like 25 strikes.
Too many chances.
You know, and they should have three, you know, so, or two maybe. But
you give them how many strikes?
You know, they said I give them 25 strikes. You
know. All right, I guessed right. But yeah, I can see that in you. Yeah.
And so, and they said, you know, you need to stop that. And I'm getting a lot better at that now. I'm just setting some boundaries and not letting it escalate. But I think that's something we're all working on is setting boundaries and just saying, hey, this isn't working. You know, how can we straighten this out, or do we need to, you know, create some space, you know, one or the other.
I was reminded as you were talking about this, that a few days ago, this past weekend, that one of my neighbors were having a party, very loud, very drunk party. And I just, it's like I could see it because of where I was, I don't know, emotionally, vibrationally, whatever. I could see it without getting pulled into it. I could see what it was from like above, where I could see that their party was like a little, like a buffet for negative entities. And that their rowdiness, like that went on to like God knows what time in the morning, that was purposeful to drag all the neighbors into the negative vibe so that they could extend the buffet. So anyone, like, I had to call the cops. At some point, I had to call the cops. The cops went in. They looked around. They told them to lower the volume. I watched the whole thing. And the cops left, and they raised the volume. Nothing. And I'm like, yeah, they raised the volume, and I'm like, okay, they're doing it. They're doing it to extend the misery so that there's more food for the negative entities. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. There are little, you know, there are people I know that are just negative vortexes, and they enjoy it. You know, they enjoy being in that kind of energy or whatever, but, you know, it does wreak havoc on you. You know, on your mental, emotional body, and your physical body. You know, so these guys usually burn. You know, they burn out pretty fast.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah. The you know, I want to go further into this. You know, we do a lot of that clearing the unseen negative influences, and in my lectures, I show these photographs of these entities in people's fields, and. You know, I've seen everything from greys and reptilians and just discarnate spirits and what some people would call demonic type energies attached to people.
That's so creepy.
And I know when they have the really nasty ones like reptilians or serpent beings, they become really nasty. They're very controlling and they're like predators themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. I can feel it now when it's happening to me. Like I'll feel great. And then something will happen and it'll trigger me. This one little thing, just one little thing, just pulls on that thread. And then the whole sweater starts to unravel. And I start, because I was triggered in that moment, I lowered my vibration enough that they could latch on. And then they just pulled me right down. And I started thinking of, like, all the reasons in the world why life sucks and I suck and everybody else sucks. And I'm like, why am I thinking like this? Like, this is not my thought process. This is goes against everything I believe. What is going on here? And I could tell that it's not even my thoughts. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, that's at the dinner table. I mean, if I would agree with everything, I would have said, you know, I'd probably go out and kill myself if I agree with everything they're saying. But you know, I go, you know, I can't align with this stuff. I gotta go. You know, I went for, it was in Venice, and so I just go, I gotta go for a walk on the beach. You know, I gotta get back out in nature. And I think it kind of affected everybody there, because when you just stand up, you go, okay, I gotta go, you know, and you walk away. It kind of makes everybody look at themselves and go, whoa, you know, wait a second, you know, what am I doing here? You know, but who knows? But it's when I look at that, when I look at social consciousness and the societal programming and how thick it is in the cities and things like that, a lot of times like you were saying before, sometimes I wonder, I go, wow, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to get beyond this? I mean, this is so thick. It's going to take an act of greater, you know, to snap people out of it. And that's where I think some of these huge waves of energy that are coming in, that's their purpose.
Yeah, I think that's also their purpose. But I also think that a lot of us here are here to do the groundwork. Like, if there's anybody listening to this that feels like they came here to do something, and either doesn't know what that is, or isn't sure that they're meant to do it, or good enough to do it, or worthy of doing the thing that they need to be doing, I just want to tell you that you really probably better get on that, because we need it. We really need it.
Yeah, yeah. It's because I don't think, to me, I always tell them, you know, that, like, resistance is fuel. You know, it's like, you know, the earth's descending. She's going to the next level.
Exactly.
Are we going to go with her?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And I think that's important to really highlight here, because a lot of people are in the mind state. Okay, I'm going to preface this with, if this is what you believe, that's cool. I'm going to say what I believe. And if you disagree, that's also cool. But I believe that the earth, like you said, the earth is ascending, and we have a choice to either go with it or we don't. and that sitting on your butt and letting that, either letting the energies do everything and not actively working on yourself, is not going to mm-hmm. help you. And you're probably not going to be where you hope that you will be. And also sitting around, there's a lot of people, oh, this is going to trigger people, sitting around waiting for the event to uh-huh. take you to the new earth or help you ascend so that you don't have to do anything on your own. If you are in the mind state that you don't have to do anything, you might want to, you know, re-explore that.
Oh, I agree. You know, because the bottom line is, if you're filled with wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience and fear and guilt and unworthiness, all that stuff, you know, that they told me once that these energies, when they come in, they're going to hit some people like a brick and other people like a feather, depending on your frequency. Mm-hmm. And people that aren't doing any work, that aren't raising their frequency, raising their vibration, are going to get really hammered when these energies come through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I, you know, what I've seen, too, is these energies are an amplifier. They amplify everything, the good and the negative, whatever you want to call it. That some people are getting darker and darker and becoming more fearful, more angry, more revengeful or whatever else, and other people are letting go and forgiving and releasing the past, you know, and then.
Yeah, and that's forward, movement. And that's exactly, that's the work, you know. The energies are going to come in, they're going to affect you, but how they affect you is up to you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was watching these people that were throwing a bunch of dirt at me for going to Dimensions and Disclosure, you know. And,
what?
And, you know, yeah, well, what happened is I allowed Corey Good to come here. I invited Corey Good to come here and speak at our big conference. And boy, it created a storm you wouldn't believe. And then I started getting attacked by all these people. And then I started looking at the people that were attacking me, and I just started clearing the energy and clearing. And then I watched them just go nuts. They're like frothing at the mouth and on the air with their YouTube stuff. And I systematically just took down their arguments, you know, and in a very calm way. And so I don't hear from them anymore. You know, they end up, you know, they established their own ignorance and their own character through their attack, you know, and it backfired on them. But it was unbelievable. I just said, my God, what are these people so afraid of? And why do they think it's their job to be the censor police, you know, and everything else? You know, karma works. You know, if people are out of alignment, if they're doing the wrong thing, you know, that's their karma. It's going to get accelerated. You know, we don't have to pick up the sword and go after them. You know, it's going to happen. You know, we need to set boundaries in our own life, you know, and deal with it. But I've just by maintaining the frequency and doing clearings and keeping this energy and not reacting and playing their game, is I'm watching these people one by one just totally implode.
Wow. You know, I think that's a big sign. When you're doing something right, that people will attack you. It's funny because there are real narcissists, cult leaders, real people in the spiritual community that are really doing damage, and they're being celebrated by millions
exactly.
of people. And then the ones who are actually here to help, the ones who are being service to others to the best of their abilities, that are modest and authentic, and they're being super attacked. And I think that's a huge sign. When you're being attacked, it's a sign that you're doing something right, and that the negative entities are going to latch on to anyone that is in within range to help destroy you, or try to destroy you, or try to drag you down and stop you from doing what you're here to do. And for the record, hate me or not, I love Corey. I feel like Corey's like my uncle and dad. And that's where I stand.
I listen to him and I go, this guy's authentic. You know, he's coming from the heart. He doesn't want to be on stage. A lot of the stuff he's talking about, I already knew about because I have my own connections. And there are some things that I can't validate or verify because that's not been my experience, but I can't invalidate his what he's experienced. And so I just said, why is everybody flipping out over this and all the other stuff going on? And, you know, and people are getting really upset by that. But it's funny, though, I've never seen so many people just come unglued and around that, to the point of where they want to take him down, period. You know, and that's why I stepped in. I said, you know what? I said, I see what's going on here. I don't agree with it. You have a right to tell your story. You have a right to, fulfill your own destiny, whatever that is. And so I threw my hat in the ring and I went and I did their conference. But, you know, like everybody, we all have stuff.
And we just got the message here. We've hit the end of the hour, unfortunately. I know we could probably go on for another 2 hours, but what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
My website, natashahynes.com, that's NatashaHynes. So that's my website, natashahynes.com, and there you can find all my social media. I have a YouTube channel where I'm posting every day. I have a podcast that you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. I also have some free stuff that you can get on my website as well. That's a course called Self-Love for Empaths. That's free. There's a Self-Love Challenge. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Just check out my website and you'll find it.
Great. And, you know, that's so important right now, because I know, being pretty empathic myself, it's rough because people keep sending you these nasty grams and energy bombs and things like that. You know, it's good to get a few tools under your belt on how to deal with
absolutely.
For coming on the show. We're hitting the end of the hour, so unfortunately we've got to sign off. But again, thanks for coming on the show. It was great, and I hope we helped some people here.
Thank you for having me. Me too. I hope we help people too. I'm so happy that we got to talk. I feel like I've known you forever. It was really nice.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll have to come up, Branch, and check it out for yourself.
Absolutely.
All right. Looks like we got to sign off, folks. James Dillon with As You Wish Talk Radio. And check out the eSETI Stargate as well. Come into the chat. And, keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent. Watch the skies. Things are happening. Have a great evening.